Last month, I read in the newspaper about Sarah Molloy. She is a 40-year-old housewife, she is a mother of three, and she is known as one of the nation's preppers. Not sure if you read this, I didn't know what a prepper was, but a prepper is someone who makes it their absolute priority to get ready for the end of the world. And so this housewife, Sarah Molloy, is quite impressive. She has mastered first aid. She's mastered how to catch fish, how to start fires by herself. She's mastered how to stockpile just the right sort of foods, baked beans, if you like them, that's a good one. She's mastered all manner of survival techniques as she seeks to make it a priority to be prepared. Apparently the kids think mum's gone a little bit crazy. They're a little bit fed up of all these baked bean cans piling up in their bedrooms. But I start with the story this lunchtime, because it begs the question, what should our priorities be? If it's not survival techniques, if it's not stockpiling food, then what? From a Christian point of view, Christians believe that Jesus Christ is coming back one day to bring in a perfect new world. So what should we be doing in the meantime? Work hard, make money, or chill out and take life easy? Be single, have a family? What should our priorities be? That is what this chapter is about. And we're going to see two key priorities. I should say, they're not the only two priorities in the Bible, but these are two that we all need. One obvious, one not so obvious. First, the obvious one, pray. Verse 1. What should our priority be as we're waiting for the Lord's return? Pray for us, the Apostle Paul says, that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honoured, just as it was with you. Now, nothing reveals our priorities more than our prayer lives. And here we see the Apostle Paul's. And I wonder how we measure up. Because Paul's main concern, his main priority, is for the spread of the gospel, the good news about Jesus Christ. How Paul longs for people to hear about him. Pray, he says, for this gospel to spread rapidly, be honoured. Now, straight away, I find that quite challenging to my prayer life. I've been thinking about it this week. Now, a lot of my prayers can be sort of quite focused on my own priorities. You know, I wake up in the morning, got a lot to do, I've got my deadlines. Lord, I've got all this, help me to get it done. By the way, there is a place for that. Don't mishear me. Philippians 4, cast all your anxieties to the Lord. There is a place for that, praying for our own concerns. The challenge here is, are we praying for this concern? For God's main concern? For the spread of the gospel? The Apostle Paul knows that every single person on this planet desperately needs to hear about Jesus Christ. The Bible gives many reasons for this. In 2 Thessalonians, if you've been with us these past 2 weeks, the main reason is because of the judgment that is coming. Think of some of the words we've come across these past 2 weeks. Trouble, deception, punishment, perishing, condemnation, everlasting destruction. We said they were stark words, they were sobering words, but they are real words. This outcome for all those who do not know Jesus, do not trust in him. People need desperately to hear the good news about him, his love, his forgiveness, the glory he brings. If you just glance up to verse 16, we read of Jesus Christ who loved us, who by his grace gave us eternal encouragement, good hope. And this is what we all need. Good hope, certain hope, real hope in the face of death. Encouragement in the face of judgment. Eternal encouragement instead of eternal destruction. There is such a need for people, all people, to hear about Jesus. And so the Apostle Paul says, priority number one, pray. Pray for this to be the case. The guest lunch next week, in your office, throughout the city. Pray for the spread of the gospel. And pray that it spreads rapidly. Because, you know, this is urgent. Did you know that 107 people die every minute across the world? Since this sermon started, roughly 535 people have died. I hope they all heard about Jesus. I don't know if they did. pray for the spread of the gospel and pray that it be honoured. Because of course, people just don't need to hear about Jesus, they need to believe in Jesus. And that is something only God can enable. Pray for it. Soon after I became a Christian, I was running around like some mad hatter telling everyone about Jesus and what he'd done, and you've got to believe. And on reflection, it probably didn't really help at home with my family, with my mum, my dad, my sisters were ramming it down their throats. You know, it's life or death, it's heaven or hell, and what are you waiting for? And they were sort of looking at me a little, I've gone a bit weird. And, you know, I thought it was all sort of down to me, having to sort of ram it down to them and tell them about it. And, of course, I can't make my family Christian. None of us can make anyone Christian. Only God can. The problem was I wasn't praying. Paul says pray for the spread of the gospel, for it to be honoured. And the wonderful thing is that, you know, as we pray these prayers, you know, for the Lord, we pray that the gospel would spread in your office, in this area of the city, with your friends, your prayer. And we pray this prayer. God loves to answer this prayer. Look at the end of verse 1. Paul says to the Thessalonian Christians, pray for this to happen, just as it was with you. They've experienced firsthand the power of prayer and the gospel in their lives. I bet if you are a Christian here today, you could name a friend, a colleague, a parent, maybe a grandparent who'd been praying for you for a long time before you became a Christian. Is that the case? You yourselves, if you're trusting in Jesus, are living proof of God's power in prayer, God's answer to prayer. I remember after I became a Christian at university, it was after Mission Week. Actually, it was quite disconcerting because I had all these people from the Christian Union coming up to me saying, oh yeah, we were praying for you. I'm like, oh, that's a bit strange. But it just makes the point. God loves to answer these prayers. There is a helpful reality check for us, though, in verse 2. If we think we're just going to pray, everyone's going to get saved. Verse 2, end of verse 2, for not everyone has faith. I pray that we be delivered from wicked, evil people. There are some people who do not like the spread of the gospel. Remember 2 weeks ago in chapter 1, we spoke of the bloodless persecution in this country. So the fact of the matter is that as we do pray for the spread of the gospel, there will be resistance. There will be opposition. You invite someone along to the guest lunch next week, some people are going to say no thanks and just decline it. It could be in your office. There is a boss who just gives you the cold shoulder slightly because you're a follower of Jesus Christ. It could be a colleague who just loves to just take the mick out of you because you follow Jesus. That was my experience as a trader. Resistance will come. This is the helpful reality check with this. But verse 3, the Lord is faithful and he will strengthen you and he will protect you. Now what a promise that is. As I said, I used to find it very hard to stand up for Jesus when I was on the trading room floor as a banker. And most of the time, I would just try and soldier on in my own strength, sort of oblivious to this promise that the Lord is with us. I used to leave God on the door as I came in and pick him up on the way out. No, he's with you. He will strengthen you. He will protect you. He is faithful. So Paul says, pray for the spread of the gospel. Keep standing up for Jesus in the office. And if there are some here, and you know, that sounds great, but it's all sounding a little theoretical. You know we should be praying, we're not ready. Maybe we're a bit cold, our heart's not in it. Maybe we're a little bit focused on our own priorities right now. Just have a look at verse 5. Paul's such a pastor with the church. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. And even if we're feeling cold towards this, even this is something we can pray about and be honest to God with. Lord, my heart's not where it should be right now. You know, I've got a lot on. I am probably just too focused on myself right now. I'm sorry about that. Please forgive me. And would you help me to focus on this priority too? Would you give me your love? Appreciate it more than I have a love for others and pray for the spread of the gospel. Would you give me your perseverance, Christ's perseverance, so I can be up for this, even when it's hard and I get knocked back with the invites? Pray for the spread of the gospel. Pray for God's protection when it's hard. Pray that God would just give us a heart for this. That's the first priority. The second priority, and not so obvious one, is to do with discipline. So first to do with prayer. The second is to do with discipline. Let's get a little bit of explanation. First, look at verse 6. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you So the full authority of Jesus Christ stands behind this command from Paul. And what is this command exactly? We command you to keep away from every believer who is idle and disruptive. Now, is that what you were expecting it was going to be? The full authority of Jesus, second priority, keep away from lazy people. It's a little bit strange, you know, is that what Paul's really saying? Imagine one of you pulled a sickie from work yesterday to watch Bradley Wiggins on the time trial. A little bit lazy, we meant to sort of say, right, you're not coming to Thursday lunchtime, if you sit there I'm going to ignore you. What is going on here with this huge priority, with discipline? Now, I think the key here is to see this phrase at the end of verse 6. Paul says, keep away from every believer who does not live according to the teaching you receive from us. And you get a similar idea in verse 14. Look down at verse 14. Take special note of anyone who does not obey our instruction in this letter. And so can we see it from the beginning of the section, the end of the section? This issue of idleness, this issue of laziness, it's part of a deeper problem. And that is one of disobedience to God's word. This is not the first time Paul had spoken to the Thessalonians about working hard. So if you look at verse 10, Paul says, look, even when we were with you, we gave you this rule. The one who is unwilling to work shall not eat. This is not the first, by the way, work's a good thing, everybody. Do you see that? No work, no food. If you come here just for the lunch, Charmaine's got her eye on you. This is not the first time laziness has come up, Paul had told them, but there are members in the church who are purposely, deliberately, they are disobeying God's word here through the apostles. And that is really serious. And Paul says, with these people, these are the ones who are to warn and to keep away from. So let's just be clear on this. These verses are not about a one-off issue with laziness. Keep away from them. Okay, it's not about laziness where people admit it's wrong, they confess a sin, they're repentant. It's not that. It's about people who are persistently, deliberately ignoring the Bible's teaching on an issue. Here, the Thessalonians, it was to do with work. And that could be an issue today. If you're someone here who thinks you don't need to work as a Christian, trying to earn your living, that could be an issue. But it could be any aspect of the Bible's teaching. Refusing to obey, deliberately ignoring what God says in marriage or gossiping or forgiving others, money. It could be anything. When there's repeated, deliberate, unrepentant, this is where discipline is needed. Does that make sense? And if we are wondering why this is such a priority, because it's a little bit strange to us, look at verse 14. Paul says, towards the end there, do not associate with them in order that they may feel ashamed, yet do not regard them as an enemy, but warn them as you would a fellow believer. And so that discipline is needed, it's a priority because we need to warn people. We saw last week in chapter 2 that to ignore apostolic teaching is to be on a terrible path, a path of deception leading to destruction. We have two paths, truth and glory, deception, destruction. You ignore the apostolic teaching, that places you on this path. But discipline, you see, warns people, and it brings them back onto the right path, onto the right track. So, for example, I remember once as a kid, I was mucking around on the side of a road. My family were there, you know, a busy road here. And I wasn't listening to my dad, who was telling me to walk further away from the roadside. And I was just running around, completely ignoring him, not doing what I was meant to be doing, what I was told. And actually, I slipped, my foot slipped, and I fell past him and into the road. Fortunately, Dad was really quick, you know, whisked me up onto my feet, back onto the pavement, and he gave me a real telling off. And, you know, it's quite right he did. You know, any loving parent would. And yes, I did feel a little bit ashamed in front of my mum and my sister, but, you know, the warning worked, and the discipline worked. You know, I made sure I kept right, walking in the right direction on the pavement. And that's just a little picture of, sort of what's going on here with Christian discipline. It keeps us on the right path, the right direction, out of trouble. We pray for the spread of the gospel, because people need to hear about Jesus, the truth, the right path. And then when you're on it, we discipline those who are wandering to get them back on the right path. See how it's working? And so that is why this is our second priority, as Christians awaiting the return of Jesus. But as I said before, this is not so obvious. Well, it's not so obvious to me. I'm not sure if it is for you. Discipline is not sort of a top priority when I sort of wake up in the morning. And that could be just because we live in a very individualistic culture. You know, we don't think it's our responsibility to sort of butt into other people's lives. I've got my beliefs, you've got yours, leave me alone, or it's my life, mind your own business. You know, and we realise none of us are perfect, so who am I to, you know, tell you what to do? But God says here, this is really important. We need each other. We're not just islands, we're not just individuals. God brings us into life, into a family, become a Christian, get brought into a church family. Because we do need warning at times. We do need discipline at times. Not with one-off sin, not with repentant sin, but with persistent, deliberate, unrepentant sin. To keep us on the right path. So what are these verses about? They're about taking sin in each other seriously. Not letting sin slide. Warning one another about laziness, gossip, bitterness, sex before marriage, whatever it is. To keep us on the right path. I know we've spoken about this before, but it's not something that I can just overlook. I love you too much, and I cannot ignore it. God is clear about this, and he doesn't want it to continue. This is serious. Now, I don't think we can keep meeting up like this if it carries on. I'm not saying this because I'm perfect. I'm not. But I say it so you can see the seriousness of it. And we can start to ask God for help with it. The issue of discipline. I'm not used to it, but God says it needs to be a priority. Two priorities, the priority of prayer, the priority of discipline. One is obvious, one is not so obvious. Both are needed. And so as we go out this week, today, right now, will we do it? Let's pray for God's help with that. Father God, thank you so much for the completeness of your word, that it tells us everything we need and sometimes tells us things we wouldn't be aware of ourselves. And we pray that as we await your son's return, you would help us to have these two priorities very clearly in our lives. Please would you move our hearts to pray regularly for the spread of the gospel. And please, Father, would you help us to have this idea of discipline more on our spiritual agendas. But may do so lovingly, humbly, gently, for we long for all people to stay on the right path of knowing you, now and for all eternity. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.